Good day, and welcome to the Cigna Eating Disorder Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kate Harner. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for calling in to Cigna's 2014 Eating Disorder Awareness Series. My name is Kate Harner, and I'm a care manager on the Eating Disorder team with Cigna. Due to the format of the call today, you'll not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of the conference, there will be a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback on your experience of today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions of today's speaker. A handout for the presentation is available online at www.cigna.com/eatingdisorders. Halfway down the page, under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link for today's presentation in blue, entitled Our Eyes Are Broken, Eating Disorders and Body Image in the Public Eye. Again, visit the Awareness Series page online at www.cigna.com/eatingdisorders. Halfway down the page under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link for today's presentation in blue entitled Our Eyes Are Broken, Eating Disorders and Body Image in the Public Eye. Please also notice the blue square in the top section of the webpage that you may click on to sign up for future seminars. It's not required that you sign up in order to attend the monthly seminars. However, if you choose to sign up, you will receive email reminders for each month's presentation. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker, Dr. Kim Dennis. Dr. Dennis is the CEO and Medical Director for Timberline Knowles Residential Treatment Center. Today, she'll be sharing information with us on eating disorders and body image. Welcome, Dr. Dennis.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. I'm really excited to be talking about this topic. It's such an important topic in our culture, and I'll be walking through the slides pretty much exactly as the slides are, and hopefully you all will be able to follow along on your own copies of the slides. So I'll start with an image. A lot of this is related to image. Our eyes are broken. And what you see on the first slide is 1954, a picture of Marilyn Monroe, who was the female ideal of that era. And then we skip ahead 60 years, and we see a Ralph Lauren model who looks very, very different than what we idealized back in the 1950s. Womanly-looking Marilyn Monroe and emaciated-looking Ralph Lauren model. So we need to ask ourselves, what's happened in these 60 years, and what is the devastating impact it's had on eating disorders in the United States? And not only eating disorders, but self-image for women and men alike. So in my presentation today, we're going to be discussing body image in the public eye and how it contributes to eating disorder behaviors. We'll look specifically at the impact of media, culture, and now the digital age in shaping how we view ourselves and our bodies. And finally, importantly, we'll discuss what we can do to stop this destructive process that's been in full force in the United States over the past decade. Just to set the scene, we talk in the eating disorder world about eating disorders being two parts. One is a genetic component that predisposes people to developing eating disorders. The next is an environmental component which pulls the trigger. So we say genetics load the gun, make people susceptible, and the environment pulls the trigger, and we end up with a full-blown eating disorder. And our culture, unfortunately, creates a very triggering environment for those with any biological predisposition to developing disordered eating or eating disorders. And the way our culture does that is by glamorizing thinness and perpetuating unrealistic, unattainable, and quite frankly, seriously unhealthy images of what the ideal body type is. Some of the studies that have looked at body image and exposure to the culture and the media images in the U.S. on the behaviors of girls and women in the United States look specifically at dieting behavior. The National Eating Disorders Association has shown that 42% of first to third grade girls want to be thinner. That's a staggering number, and when we're talking about first to third grade girls, I mean, these are very, very young girls who have been exposed and bombarded with cultural images from the time that they were babies. Another study showed that 35% of quote-unquote normal dieters progress to pathological dieting, and 25% of those progress on to eating disorders. One of the biggest risk factors for developing an eating disorder is dieting. And I would go as far to say that, you know, there's no such thing as normal dieters. You know, where we need to be heading with public health and with eating disorder treatment alike is supporting people in finding sustainable and varied ways of eating. One in five women will struggle with an eating disorder in their lifetime. This is another statistic from the National Eating Disorders Association. So we're talking about a major problem in our country that also affects men. And in today's talk, we will discuss what elements in particular of our culture affect body image and perpetuate eating disorders. I'll address how we treat those who are struggling. And then finally, how can we use the power of media and the power of culture for good? I'll start with the digital age, which we are well entrenched in at this point. And things like photoshopping and editing images produce a constant bombardment of young kids, women, men, of what the so-called ideal body type is in our country. And unfortunately, the ideal body type for a woman doesn't really look much like a woman. It tends to look more like an adolescent boy, for example. But ads like the one shown on the digital age slide, "You deserve a skinny boost." These are on billboards, these are on commercials, these are on magazines, these are in newspapers, these are on Facebook ads. So people are constantly being exposed to this and programmed to believe the lie. This comes in ads, magazines, television, and film. In the next slide, the American Medical Association took a step a few years back and condemned photoshopping. In the next few slides, we'll see some examples of photoshopping and what it does to the image of a woman's body. So in the first slide, you see a picture of Kate Winslet on the GQ magazine cover. And that is a photoshopped image. Compare that to the real image on the right of the screen of Kate Winslet. She looks much more like a woman and a regular human, normal person in the real image versus the photoshopped image, which makes her taller and thinner than her real body type. The next slide shows one of the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian. And on the left, again, you see the real image, which looks womanly, shapely. And on the right, you see a photoshopped image in which her thighs are smaller, her waist is smaller, her skin color is a little bit lighter as well. So these are the false images that bombard people every day in our country and have a deep impact on the way that they start to think about themselves and the people around them with respect to body image. The next slide represents one of the most egregious photoshopping advertising events ever, and that was the Ralph Lauren ad, in which this model was photoshopped to the extent that her waist was actually smaller than her head circumference. And this is not a realistic, not an accurate image of what a female looks like. So what do we know about photoshopping and unrealistic expectations about body image? We know that these have a very deep impact, especially among impressionable children and adolescents. children look to the environment and look to their parents and look to what they see going on around them for information, rules, cultural stereotypes that they feel like they need to abide by. And typically this is not a conscious choice. They are exposed to the image, they internalize the image, and begin to act accordingly. There's a large body of literature that links exposure to media-propagated images of unrealistic body image to eating disorders and other child and adolescent health problems. One of the things that we know from a really important study done, I believe, back in the 1990s, it was a study that a graduate student did on Fiji. And she did the study by looking at eating disorder behaviors and prevalence of eating disorders in Fiji right before the introduction of television and westernization of that country. And she found virtually no eating disorder diagnoses. She went back after a period of time when they had been exposed to media, television, Western culture, and found rates of eating disorder that were similar to the rates that we see in the United States. So this study was very important in highlighting the impact of environment on the development of eating disorders. If somebody has a genetic predisposition to an eating disorder, but they're not exposed to environmental cues or media that triggers eating disorders, they're not going to end up with an eating disorder. But when you add the genetic predisposition to an environment that's highly triggering for eating disorders, what you see is a high prevalence of the disorder. Moving on to the next slide, there are movie stars who've taken a stance on photoshopping and refuse to be photoshopped in any of the work that they do with the media. So, for example, Jessica Alba, Kelly Clarkson, Christina Ricci, Jamie Lynn Singer. So there are positive role models out there who are using their voice, and they really are, and hoping to make an impact in a positive way on the brokenness of our eyes in our culture. Another example of a non-photoshopped movie star was Karen Carpenter. And unfortunately, she died at the age of 32 from complications of her eating disorder. And she was one of the people that whose death really woke people up to the seriousness of eating disorders and the deadliness of eating disorders. I want to shift now and talk a little bit about the dangers of social media. College women have been found to spend 2 to 4 hours per day on Facebook. So we're talking about 14 to 28 hours a week on Facebook. And social media can be a big trigger for negative body image, poor self-esteem, and eating disorders. And it can do that in a variety of different ways. Many times when people post on Facebook, they post images that are inaccurate. They post images that highlight thinness, that highlight image, that highlight the ideal, the female ideal. Many people use their Facebook pages to share dieting secrets and over-exercise secrets. There are also websites specifically that attract people who are interested in living along the lines of anorexia and bulimia, websites called Pro-Anna and Pro-Mia, which can be very dangerous for people who are struggling with an eating disorder, trying to get out of it, but then visiting these websites and being supported and going back to their eating disorder behavior. So shifting to the next slide, the dangers of social media. One of the biggest dangers of social media is the fact that it's constant. It offers instant access. There's really no escape from it with the advent of mobile devices. And it can be a very invasive trigger, especially when somebody is constantly on their smartphone or constantly on their iPad, looking at Facebook, looking at other media sites that can negatively impact body image. Another danger of social media is that it's much easier to post anonymous and critical bullying comments via social media versus what somebody might say or do if they were in a face-to-face interpersonal interaction. So cyberbullying is something that we know a lot about today, and it can have serious negative impact on general mental health, but also and especially eating disorders and a person's body image. 20% of college females say looking at Facebook makes them feel stressed. And 47% of females say that sometimes they feel addicted to Facebook. So what we're seeing is people are tending to spend more and more time on a social media site, which can leave them stressed out, which can leave them comparing themselves to other people, and usually coming out on the bottom, and also decreasing the amount of time that people are available to spend in face-to-face interpersonal contact with other human beings. I'd like to talk now about the obesity epidemic. And in large part, the obesity epidemic is an overreaction, and people are focused very, very much on being overweight or being obese, when a big part of the focus really needs to be on our obsession in America with dieting, our obsession on being thin, and how that actually drives people into patterns of eating where they end up compulsively overeating or compulsively dieting and having no stability, no sanity in their relationship with food. We really have a fear culture around fat and weight loss in our country. Rarely do we ever see anything in the media about weight or size diversity or the concept of health at every size. We're constantly bombarded with obesity epidemic, eat better, work out more, be thinner, thin equals healthy and beautiful. Physicians, unfortunately, have a pretty large role in encouraging this thin ideal and can have a very damaging effect on women, men, boys, and girls who have distorted body image or eating disorders. BMI, body mass index, has become warped into something that it was never intended to be. BMI is not an indicator of health. And unfortunately, that's how it's being used. It's being used as an accurate representation of health in physicians' offices all across the country. And quite frankly, the truth is that across a wide range of BMIs, people can be very, very healthy. And better indicators of health would include things like blood pressure, how much fitness a person is getting, cholesterol levels, for example. Another offshoot of the obesity fear and the obesity epidemic panic is something called FITSPO. And this is short for fitness inspiration. And many times the things that are blogged about on FITSPO sites represent very unhealthy mentality towards exercise, people not exercising because they enjoy it or for health benefits, but exercising specifically to shape and change and alter their bodies. And we know that people who exercise specifically for that reason are much more likely to end up with eating disorders. moving along to how do we treat body image distortions and eating disorders. So we treat negative body image, we treat eating disorders, and we teach media literacy. And teaching kids and adolescents and adults how to really interpret media can be a very powerful way to dispel some of the myths that come out to us through the media. One of the things we support people in doing is being their own definition of beautiful and encouraging people to broaden their view of what beautiful is. We provide people access to support groups and positive resources. And despite the dangers of social media and the internet, there are some areas of the internet that are actually helpful to people in developing a much more healthy idea about body image, about their relationship with food and exercise. We also help people to identify evaluation of self and exposure to all of the media images. I said earlier in this talk that people are exposed to all of these images 24/7, and rarely is it a very conscious endeavor for them. And what we want to try to do is to help people become much more conscious of the automatic thoughts and self-criticisms that comes up from viewing an unhealthy and unrealistic body type through the media. Mindfulness is a big part of what we use to help people become more aware of their own internal reactions and responses to the images that they're bombarded with day and night. Not everybody who goes to the grocery store and sees an anorexic-looking model on the cover of a magazine will internalize that and tell themselves that they need to go on a diet, that they need to lose weight, that they need to go home and work out for 5 hours. But people who are predisposed, who have that genetic predisposition to developing eating disorders, may very well do that. And they may do that, again, in a subconscious or unconscious way. So mindfulness is a very powerful tool to debunk the myths that of the images that are projected at us day in and day out. Therapy from a professional with expertise in treating eating disorders or body image distortions or disordered eating is an important part of letting go of the negativity and the damage that culture can do to the area of eating disorders and body image. It's important if you are seeking therapy or open to therapy that you go to somebody who does have some expertise and some experience in treating eating disorders, because there are different techniques and different methods that people who are trained to treat eating disorders will use specifically to target body image distortions and disordered eating behaviors. We also use experiential activities. One of my favorite ones to do with patients that we treat at Timberline Knowles is something called a body tracing. And what we do with a person is we ask them to draw on a giant sheet of paper what they think the outline of their body will look like. And then we have them fill in some of the thoughts that they have about their body and the various judgments and criticisms that they have about parts of their bodies. And typically, this picture is much, much larger than what their body actually looks like. And it's also typically full of negative, harsh, demeaning comments about their body. Then we have the person wear tight-fitting clothing, and we have them lay down on a sheet of paper, same size as the one they drew on, and we outline the actual tracing of their body. A therapist does that with the person. And it's one of the ways that people can begin to see that their own view of themselves is very, very distorted. We like to sometimes call it your eyes are broken. And we like to help people to see themselves more like we see them which tends to be much more accepting and loving and compassionate and positive than how they see themselves. Moving to the next slide about how we treat eating disorders. Eating disorders are highly complex mental illnesses which require a sophisticated level of physical, psychological, nutritional, and spiritual therapy. Treatment and resources do exist that can help people reach lifelong and full recovery from the eating disorder. This is an important message that anyone struggling with an eating disorder hears, because so many times I meet women and girls who have eating disorders who have heard from professionals, family members, and others that they're just going to have to learn to live with it for the rest of their lives. With the appropriate and expert treatment, somebody can fully recover from her eating disorder or his eating disorder. I'd like to spend a little time now talking about using culture as a positive, the redeeming aspects of culture, and how we can use it to actually support people in developing healthier ideas about themselves, about the way they look, about their eating and exercise behaviors. A college student journal study found that 24% of college females felt that Facebook helped them to express feelings easier. One of the ways that social media can be beneficial is that for the same reason that it's easier for people to be critical or say harsh, judgmental things on social media, it lessens inhibition for people with social anxiety or a lot of fear about sharing vulnerable feelings with other people. So many people, even if they won't talk to their friends face-to-face or pick up the phone and share feelings of vulnerability with their friends, may be willing to share on that level through a less threatening media such as Facebook, email, texting. And one of the things that we know is important for connecting with other human beings, decreasing feelings of being overwhelmed, decreasing feelings of isolation and loneliness and emptiness, is connecting on an emotional level with other human beings. 16% of people say that Facebook time helps them to feel excited and energized. So there are two sides to the Facebook and social media coin. It can certainly be used in damaging and destructive ways, but it can also be used to invigorate, energize, support, and increase positivity of people. Some of this will depend on the mental state of the person who is using Facebook. If a person comes to their Facebook time feeling down on themselves, feeling ugly, feeling unacceptable, many times they will focus on the things on Facebook which will further perpetuate that feeling. They'll focus on negatives, they'll compare themselves to other people and end up in the one down position. They'll look for everything everybody else has in their life that they don't. If a person, on the other hand, comes to Facebook and they're feeling good about themselves, they've had, you know, a good day with their family or friends, or completed a school or work project, they're much more likely to approach Facebook in a positive light and look for the positives and celebrate the accomplishments of their friends, their families, themselves, and leave the experience feeling excited and energized. So we want to support people really in using social media for good. It offers constant access and constant connection. And one of the things we try to help people do when they're using social media is to have balance. Balance is such an important part of healthy living. And there's nothing balanced about only having social contact through social media or constantly being on Facebook, constantly being on email or other social media sites. Likewise, there's nothing balanced about the anorexic images that we're bombarded with, the extreme diets, the extreme exercise routines that are coming to us through advertising in the media. When it comes to using social media for good, we support people in following and posting positivity, in liking posts that are positive and posts that are uplifting. We also support people in exposing body image lies and negative media portrayals of women. And there are many different sites that encourage women to have much more healthy, much more realistic, much more flexible and varied image of themselves. We also encourage people to use retweets and shares to promote positivity, to share the resources. If you've read an inspiring post about a woman who accepts herself and loves herself just as she is and how she got there, share that with all of your contacts. Share that with other women and men and girls and boys in your life who might benefit from some positivity through the media versus the bombardment of unrealistic, unhealthy body image. The next slide is an example of one of the organizations who has a mission to transform individual and societal beliefs about body image, weight, and identity. And this is a really great organization. I encourage you all to look up their website. They're called The Body Positive, and they're really impacting culture in a way that grows healthy, confident individuals contributing to positive change in this specific area in the world. They are looking for donations always, and they also invite you to submit creative projects to share your own beauty. And the images that they portray on their website, the projects that they share and promote through the Body Positive are all really wonderful expressions of self that demonstrate the concept of diversity, acceptance, appreciation of the gifts that we do have rather than focusing on what we don't have. And they offer little inspirational videos and many other positive body image aspects on their website. So I encourage you all to check them out. Another area to find positivity on the internet, through social media, is to find bloggers who have taken a stance on body image and promote healthy body image and health with respect to overcoming eating disorder behaviors, thoughts, and lies. Kirsten Haglin is one such person who blogs regularly about the importance of positive body image. She's a big advocate for eating disorder awareness and also runs a nonprofit foundation to help people get access to treatment, specialized eating disorder treatment. So there are definitely positive pockets within social media that can actually help people in their journeys to find health and balance and acceptance with body image and also eating disorder recovery. Eating Disorder Hope is another website that does a tremendous amount of work and is really on the cutting edge of anything that's coming up, trends, treatment-wise, trends with eating disorder behaviors. They have tons and tons of positive review articles and blogs that all support people in recovering from their eating disorders. They cover topics in the news with regards to health coverage and federal rules covering eating disorder treatment. They look at the rise of anorexia in men and many other trends that we're seeing in the eating disorder field. It's a great resource for anyone who's struggling or their family members. So let's continue with our talking on social media for good. We want to really, really encourage people to use comments to build people up, build up their friends, build up their communities without being critical, without tearing anyone down, and also without commenting on appearance. So much of what teenagers and adults alike focus on with regards to self-identity revolves around appearance. We really, really want to get people thinking along the lines of self in much more substantive ways than what a person looks like. So beauty comes in many, many different shapes and sizes, and it also comes in many, many different varieties. It can come out in what a person does, how a person thinks, how a person treats themselves or other people. And we support people in really focusing on that versus focusing solely on image when it comes to social media. We also really, really encourage people to supplement online communication with face-to-face interaction. One of the things that we know is very, very common among people with eating disorders, people with depression, people with low self-esteem, is isolation. And one of the things that social media can do if it's being misused or overused is it can actually increase isolation for a person who is using that to the exclusion of face-to-face interaction. So we really, again, ask people to try to find balance between connecting online and using social media in a healthy and positive way with the importance of face-to-face human interaction. There's a lot that's lost in online communication that we don't have access to, that we do have access to when we are in face-to-face interaction with another human being. And one of the dangers of too much social media use is that kids are not learning some of the social cues and social interactions and social intelligence that maybe kids used to know 20 years ago or 10 years ago before the advent of the Internet. We know that there are strengths in numbers. And that's one of the reasons why this movement is so important, because we have tons and tons and tons of negative body image bombardments every single day with media, with advertising, with film. The advertising industry has huge, huge numbers. And one of the things I think we forgot is that the number of all of us who are receiving this is much, much bigger than the number of media outlets or the number of images that we're being bombarded with. So we really encourage people to find strength in numbers, to connect to support groups and positive online communities, to make a grassroots movement and be much more mindful about what it is that we're paying attention to, what sites that we're visiting, what images that we're letting get into our heads, what it is that we're consuming. As consumers, we have choice and we have power if we choose to exercise it. And one of the ways we help people tap into their power, one of the ways we empower people, is by connecting them with strong communities of like-minded people who have decided they've had enough with self-hatred, self-criticism, self-loathing, constant searching for the next best diet, the next magic pill, the next best exercise routine to improve themselves. Connect with people who've decided that they are enough and they're beautiful just as they are. So there are many consumer and advocacy groups that support people in doing just that. And the more we can get people actually involved and active in these groups, active in support groups, active in advocacy groups, the better off they are in their own lives and the more passionate they become about standing up for themselves, their own image, and who they really are. There's also a legislative piece, both on federal and state levels, where help could come in this area of body image and what the media portrays. One example is the Truth in Advertising Act, and this is a bipartisan bill that's requiring the Federal Trade Commission to study what steps can be taken to reduce the use of Photoshop models in advertising. One of the organizations in the eating disorder world that's been pivotal in pushing legislation like this is something called the Eating Disorders Coalition. And it's an advocacy organization for eating disorders that really advances the recognition of eating disorders as a public health priority at both the federal and state level. And the Eating Disorder Coalition is comprised of people who've had eating disorders, family members, treatment professionals, lawyers, politicians, all who are trying to make our environment here in the United States, our social culture, much less hostile towards people who have negative body image, people who are predisposed to eating disorders. People in our country die every day of eating disorders. So these are medical illnesses that are potentially fatal, and it is a public health problem in our country that needs more attention from federal government and state level government as well. Another avenue that has been helpful in the area of improving body image and getting rid of unrealistic, negative, brainwashing images of unhealthy girls and women is the step that the American Medical Association took in publicly condemning photoshopping. It adopted a new policy to encourage advertising associations to actually work with public and private sector organizations concerned with child and adolescent health to really develop guidelines for advertisements, especially those appearing in some of the teen-oriented publications, Teen Magazine, many other magazines and advertisements that specifically target the teenage population. And the AMA is proposing guidelines that would discourage the use of any alterations of photographs in a manner that could promote unrealistic negative body image, such as the Ralph Lauren advertisement that I showed earlier in this talk. So in closing, I just want to say the elements of media, culture, and social media can most certainly trigger negative body image and eating disorders. Full recovery comes through treatment for people with eating disorders, and also change comes from us, from each of us who have kids in our houses, from each of us who get to model either an accepting and loving and healthy respect for our bodies in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we treat our bodies, or vice versa, we could model exactly what people are impacted by and getting from the media, which would only further negative body image in our very own households and communities. We can redeem the culture and use it for good, and that starts with us and the actions that we take, the people we associate with, and the products that we consume. So I encourage you all to use your voice, keep calm, and use your voice, and use your real voice, your authentic voice. Speak your truth and not the truth that's been put upon you by social media, by advertising, by the culture that we have in our country that has broken eyes. Be a part of changing the culture for our next generation for the good. The last few slides just represent some resources and some of the sources that I used to put together this presentation. And I will conclude now and turn it back over to the organizer.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. To help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. This session provided me with a better understanding of how body image can be impacted by media messages and images. Star 1 if you strongly agree. Star 2 if you agree. Star 3, disagree. Star 4, strongly disagree. We'll pause for just a moment. Question 2. This session educated me on ways social media can promote positive body image. Star 1, strongly agree. Star 2, agree. Star 3, disagree. Star 4, strongly disagree. Question 3. Overall, this session met my expectations. Star 1, strongly agree. Star 2, agree. Star 3, disagree. Star 4, strongly disagree. Question 4. I would recommend this program to others. Star 1, if you agree. Star 2, if you do not agree. Question 5. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with an eating disorder. Star 1, I am an individual with an eating disorder. Star 2, I am a family member of someone with an eating disorder. Star 3, I am a health professional. Star 4, other. Thank you. That concludes today's survey. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. At this time, we will take your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. We ask that you please state your name and then ask your question. Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone if you would like to ask a question. And it appears we have no questions at this time.
Thank you, everyone, so much for attending. And thank you especially to Dr. Kim Dennis for providing us with such wonderful insights today. If anyone on the call has specific questions about any of the topics discussed, please feel free to contact the Eating Disorder team by calling the number on the back of your Cigna insurance card. Please also remember to mark your calendars to join us next month on Tuesday, May 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when the topic will be relating to adolescence and eating disorders. Thank you for attending and have a great day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's presentation. You may now disconnect.